eternity, what we are heading for. So when our bodies get tired, when we get frustrated with this life and all of its trials, we know there's so much more coming. And the amazing thing is, God gives us peace while we're upon this earth and holds us, guides us, sustains us, and lets us know there's a beautiful, beautiful eternity that awaits those that serve God. Today's title, which this is the last part of this series, Living for the New, is entitled Citizens of the Eternal City. The eternal city of God, known as the New Jerusalem. As we said before, this earth and this heaven is going to fade away, and there will be upon where our feet step a new earth and a new heaven, and the city of God will be upon that new earth, and it will be known as Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, the city of God. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter the city of God. As we said before, heaven is not this place where we're just a spirit floating around. We're going to be given a new body. We're going to be given a new physical body, and we will live forevermore without the hassle of sin and the fallen nature. It is going to be restored. The citizens of the city of God, those that are able to walk upon the streets of gold, the citizens of the city of God, was bought by the blood of Jesus. The highest cost, the blood of Jesus, provides the avenue for us to have a future without death and a beautiful reality that our minds can't even perceive right now. We're headed in a wonderful direction. What has your week been like? Maybe it was tough, but you're headed in a wonderful direction. Your hope is not this earth. Your hope is not what you even experience on this earth, but your hope is where you are heading. The blood of Jesus pours forth a power in our life. The blood of Jesus purifies us. Nothing else can come and cleanse sin away. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus has come to bring a glory upon us that we would not be able to have without His blood. The blood of Jesus comes so that we can be alive in God's purpose for us. Though we are incomplete here in the sense that sin's presence is still around us and the effects are still seen, where His purpose is, it is now alive and we are headed for that beautiful city. The blood of Jesus not only purifies and glorifies us, but the blood of Jesus empowers us with the spirit of truth within. We live in the dominion of lies. In this earth that is the dominion of lies, God's truth is alive in us because of the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus, we can perceive even the things that we stand and hold on to in light of God's truth, so that we can let go of things that are not the truth, that maybe we had once called truth. The blood of Jesus ushers us into a relationship with Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us, the Spirit of God, not distant, but the Spirit of God alive inside us. That is what the power of the blood of Jesus does. Who will enter the city of God? Do you want to know? Because Revelation makes it clear who will enter the city of God. If you have your Bibles with you, let's look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. Here we see an image of the ones that are not going to be able to enter the city. So in essence, when we look at this, we can realize if we choose not to encompass these characteristics in us, not by our power, but by the power of God, that will let us know the feet that will walk those streets of gold. Let's read this. Speaking of the New Jerusalem, the eternal city of God, which you read chapter 21, please. The glory of God will be there. No need for sun or the light of the moon. There's no night and there's no need of the sun because the glory of God will illuminate this beautiful city. Nothing impure will ever enter it. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names, and let's say this together, are written in the Lamb's book of life. Only the feet of the victorious will walk the streets of gold. So my encouragement to you today is press on, don't give up. When you want to quit, don't quit. When you see reason within yourself to quit, don't quit. Press on. Be victorious. Finish the race. Run. When you're knocked out, discouraged, continue to let the Spirit of God in you to move you forward. Even when you don't feel like going forward, continue to press on. Because God wants you in this city. Who will enter the city of God? It's very plain and clear. Only those written in the Lamb's book of life will enter the city of God. Now I want to look at some characteristics of future citizens of the eternal city of God. Now, it's hard for the flesh to envision a different reality than what we know, right? It's hard for us to even look beyond the craziness of this life and think there's something different, totally different awaiting us. It's hard to envision life without the pain of this earth. But it's coming. What God's initial intentions were for man will be fully restored, and there will be those that will enjoy the fullness of that. And the characteristics of those that will enter this city are very clear in Scripture. One that guards purity. Those that will enter this city because of what the work of Christ has done will be the hearts that guard purity. Not look for avenues to see how close I can get to sin or how much sin I can keep in me and feel okay. No, the hearts that will walk in this city and walk upon this new earth will be the ones that guard purity. We see this again. Nothing impure will ever enter this eternal city of God. Nothing impure. What is purity when you really think about it? And where does it dwell with us? Purity is an attitude of the heart. Purity is the countenance of Christ within us. Purity is a new heart that's being built upon. Purity is, again, an attitude of the heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 tells us this. Now look close at this, because a lot of people want to do this. Pray a prayer, receive a ticket to the city, and then live however they want to live. Pray a prayer, get the ticket, and live however they want to live, never thinking what God's perspective is about our actions. Here, it's laid out very clear. Therefore, this is coming right to us today, the church. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us get a ticket, put it in our pocket, and live after the old heart. And we're going to walk the streets of gold. Doesn't say that, does it? Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body, and it's very important that we see this, the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of what? Reverence for God. Now, purity in heart has responsibility on our side as well. We can't create our own purity, but it is up to us to walk in purity. And we don't have to do it if we don't want to. If we want to fall back, if we want to surrender the heart that presses on, and then let's just boil it really down to what this is saying. If you reverence God, you will not be content with impure things living in your heart. You may want those things to live in your heart, like unforgiveness, whatever it is, the struggle. But because you reverence God, you honor God, you're not going to go there. Reverence for God guards our heart from things that are impure. Therefore, since we have these promises, this future that awaits us, this abundant life right now, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. What happens when purity is void in us? It's not just something that affects our body, it affects our very spirit. And the countenance of who we are is affected because of the things that we let into our lives. Sin has consequences, but it's more than just the eternal consequences. It's what we become right now. If I hold on to that, there's a cost involved. It's going to change my spirit inside. I was sharing with someone recently, we miss it sometimes without a doubt, but when the Holy Spirit lives in you, when His presence is in you, and you encounter someone else that has the Spirit of God in them, you bear witness of that. Can we be fooled? Yes, we can. But there is a knowing inside because of what the Spirit of God does to the spirit of man. And then we see a brother, we see a sister, we see who's real and who isn't. Don't think we can't be fooled, we can. But that is an awesome power of what purity does to the soul and what purity does to the body. Only the pure in heart will enter the city of God. Everything that contaminates the body and spirit, that which is impure, has a destructive presence in our lives. It's not there to build us. It's there to take us down. Remember, when you get weary and you want to go back to the old, don't forget that God has created in you a new heart. Live for the new. Don't live for the old. What do we do as people? We go back to what is most common to us. What is familiar to us. It is so easy to return to it. But don't live for the old heart. Remember, Jesus died. His blood poured out so that you could have a new heart. Live for the new. The characteristics of a citizen of this new Jerusalem, the city of God, the eternal city of God, is those that walk in purity and run from impurity. Now let's look at another characteristic here. Characteristics of the future citizens of the eternal city of God. One that guards glory. One that guards glory. Jesus in John 17:10 made a unique statement here about glory. He was talking about his disciples, and he made this statement about them, praying to God for them. He said this, glory has come to me through them. So what he's saying is that the way you live your life, you bring glory to God. And Jesus, the pouring forth of his blood so that sin would not be our master any longer, allows us to live a life that brings glory to God. Nothing impure will ever enter the city of God, nor will anyone who does what is, say that word with me, shameful. Shameful. We bring glory to God when his purpose is alive in us. Jesus destined his glory to live out in you. But if we forsake it, how shameful that is to our precious God. Here Jesus prays and intercedes for us, reminding us in this passage, glory has come to me through them. Is that something that we can say about our lives? Do our lives bring glory to Jesus? It's possible. Because he's designed us that way. God's glory is no greater seen in you than you living the purpose that he created you for. Are we living out his purpose for us? You know, right now, I find this so encouraging. Robert, God, when he formed you and knitted you and made you, in that making was your purpose as well. And it was uniquely for Robert. Same way with Tracy. Tracy, in your life, God knew exactly why he created you. You weren't just an accident. And the thing that I find unique, too, is that in his purpose for you, interwoven in all of that was every struggle that you ever went through. Everything that you envisioned that wasn't what God envisioned, he knew how that would impact your heart. He knew those that would stand against what your purpose was. But he empowered you to press forward, to keep on, and to enjoy the journey. Not without frustration, but enjoy the journey. Same thing in all of our lives. George moves throughout this city, not just bringing packages to people, but bringing the joy of the Lord to people and wisdom to people. Active in the purpose God created you for. It doesn't get any better than that. The problem arises is when we try to put our purpose ahead of God. God's purpose will live out if we will just stay faithful to him and live for the new. I was talking to someone this week and they were telling me, you know, it's scary when we get ahead of God. When we begin to envision things about ourselves that God never envisioned. And then we act upon it. It's not a good thing. But glory to God in its fullness and in its power is when you fulfill God's unique purpose for you. And it is glorious. Didn't mean somebody's going to write a book about your life. Didn't mean there's going to be a movie made about you. But you are going to come to the end of your life knowing that you gave glory to God with the unique purpose that he laid before you. I love seeing God's purpose in people because it honors God. And I know it ain't easy. It wasn't meant to be. When y'all designed training steps for new recruits that were getting ready to go against people that were trying to kill them, you didn't design those drills to make it easy. You designed those drills to make them able to complete the task. Same way with God. He, in his purpose for us, is a process of strengthening who we are. Not tearing us down, but strengthening who we are. Revelation, again, 21, verse 27. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful. Anyone who does what is shameful. How shameful, again, it is for us to reject the purpose of why God formed us and made us. How shameful is that? To live our plan above God's plan. How shameful it is when he died so that we could have newness of life. We embrace the old and will not let go. Live it. Walk in the glory of God's purpose. We bring glory to God when his purpose is alive in us. We must guard glory by honoring God's heart for our lives. Living for the new will always bring glory to God. Always. No matter how challenging it is, no matter how different it looks from what I had planned out, living for the new will always bring glory to God. And may we come through this journey forgiven for the times we have been shameful, but embracing the path that says, I will not bring shame to God by rejecting his purpose for my life. I'm not going to do it. I've done it, but I am not destined to hold on to that habit. I'm going to move forward in why he placed me here. God's purpose for our lives is always empowered by his strength in us. We can't do it on our own. Draw on his strength. Draw on his new. Now, let's move to this other characteristic of future citizens of the eternal city of God. Another characteristic of one that will walk the streets of gold is one that guards truth. We see it here, again, verse 27, Revelation 21. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or, and say that word with me, deceitful. That deceitful heart is one that is content with a lie. A deceitful heart is one sometimes that holds on to it that is deceit, that is under the influence of deceit themselves. Meaning that the truth that they hold on to is not truth at all. Those that love God love truth. The hunger for truth is a sign of a sanctified life. How do I know I'm hungry for truth? One way is this. It's countering my perspective with God's perspective. If I don't find myself throughout many times the day or throughout the week countering what I want to hold on to with God's truth, maybe I am living in a deceitful place. Because my heart, the Bible tells me, not the books of man, but the Bible tells me that my heart is deceitful above all things. So what is God telling you? You got an enemy that lives in you. And that enemy that lives in you, now hold on to this a minute, is the old heart, not the new heart. It doesn't hold power over you because you have been given a new heart in Christ, but that old heart is going to continue to spill its deceit to us to try to get us off of the path that God's intended. So how do we deal with that? We don't give in to deceit. We keep an eye open for it. And when that heart cries out, you can do this. This is okay. I don't care what, you know, whoever says. We won't say this too much. I don't care what the Bible says. Or we'll say, I don't care what the preacher said. He don't know everything. Of course, he doesn't. Or whoever that preacher is doesn't. But how many times are we going to say, I don't believe the Bible? We don't say it normally with our words. We say it with our actions and our steps. So countering that which is deceitful, because nothing deceitful is going to enter the city of God. Here we see this. I want to be sanctified. You say, why? Because I want purity in my life. I don't want a badge that I go around and wear. I want purity. I want to be sanctified because I want to love truth. John 17:17 tells us this. Jesus, in interceding and praying for us, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus, looking at future Christians, looking at the apostles, looking at the disciples during the time he was on the earth, but looking far ahead, he prayed, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Only God's word can sanctify me. Not my take on God's word, only God's word. Truth is not anchored by what I feel or what I say. How many times have we been willing to sell out our lives for something that is only established based on what I feel and what I think? It's a dangerous thing, but there are many people that do it. God wants us not to be the source of truth. He wants us to honor the source of truth, his word. Had a conversation with someone the other day that was trying to sow doubt that this is the word of God, okay? And one of the, when I say sow doubt, somebody maybe tried to sow doubt in them, but this was the comment. How can we trust the Bible? And it started this way. Did you know Shakespeare's name is in the Bible? And I was like, oh boy, here we go. Because if Shakespeare's name is in the Bible, then that would let you know that it's just a fallacy made up by man. And they go on to say in the King James, I don't know the recipe, but if you count so many numbers in this chapter and so many numbers, words back in this chapter, you'll find Shakespeare. There's a whole lot of other stuff you can find if you start doing some counting like that. And then let me say this. They said, you count back his age at the time that it was written. Could he have been someone that was utilized in writing in the King James? Because we know Jesus didn't write in the King James, right? Did he? Well, let me put it this way. The apostles, the original language is Greek and Hebrew, not Old English. And by mercy, men were willing to give their lives so that we would have an English translated Bible. And we can trust the word, but we go back as far as we can to the original. It's amazing how God has protected us. But the mindset was this. Doubt God's word. Very similar to how Satan came up to Eve, and when she says, if we eat of that tree, we shall surely die. That's what God said. you will not surely die. Another way of saying it, you can't believe what he said. Anybody that attacks the Bible is attacking truth and attacking the word. And my comment was simply this. How sad it would be for God to spend all of this energy in creating humanity and this beautiful place that we live in with all of its fallen state, created by our choice, not God's, to put us here and to say, figure it out, Bucky. That'd be pretty sad, wouldn't it? But that's how a lot of people live. Just figure it out. Make up your way. What feels right. God gave us his word so that we would know that we know that we know that we know what we know. Fallible man encountering the infallible word of God preserved for us so that we know his heart. See, how could you be a good father and not want the fullness of your heart for the good and the good purposes of your child to be cloudy and unrevealed? You give everything to guard your children. God is the perfect heavenly Father without any sin, and he has revealed his heart to us, and he has said, if you will let the word enter your heart and your life, you will be sanctified by the power of the word. And again, the word and the Holy Spirit go hand in hand, because you cannot perceive the heart of God without the presence of God's Holy Spirit in us. We can get knowledge, we can get principles and things, but we can't see it with the dimensions that God wants us to see it without the living Spirit of God in us. And he stands ready. And that's part of the sanctifying process. Truth is not anchored again by what I feel or what I say. Sanctify, what does that really mean? Purify internally by renewing the soul. Truth, again, is God. Truth is God's word, and it is a sanctifying power. And that sanctifying power reaches down to our very spirit. Do you feel different when you journey your week or journey your month not encountering the word of God? Does it make you feel different? Now, just hold on to that a minute. If you take time and let that word as clearly there open up and speak into us, we feel the effect of the sanctifying power. We have God's heart giving us perception of what truth is and how it applies. And it is a good thing. You let the word of God get in your heart and mind, you're going to have a different week. You're going to have a different day. You are being sanctified because God is speaking truth in you, countering the things that you feel, countering the things that you were taught, countering the examples that you see lived out around you. We are people that learn by what? By example, by what we see. And in this world, we see a lot of foolishness, right? We need something to counter that, and that is where God's word comes to sanctify us, preparing us for our citizenship into the city of God. See, nothing deceitful will enter the city of God. How do you counter deceit? You counter deceit with truth. How do you encounter truth? You encounter truth by being washed with the powerful water of the Word of God. Now, another characteristic here today, is this is the last characteristic I want to talk about today. characteristics of future citizens of the eternal city of God. Do y'all see that? Do y'all see where you're heading? Do you see where you're heading? Somebody is already got a vacation plan to go somewhere. I heard someone say just this week how many hours Americans spend thinking about getting away. So when someone has scheduled a vacation, there's anticipation. Man, going there. Delphine went on a vacation not long ago, went all the way to the Grand Canyon in California, right? I ain't going to say where else you went. But she, anticipation, she was excited because she, it was a tour group, right? And how did it feel when you got up there in that bus and you're like, Grand Canyon, here I come, right? It was awesome. It was exciting. I still see your smile about that. But we are heading to a place that is so much greater. We need to have some anticipation about it. Part of that anticipation is fuel to help us get through. When these bodies begin to fade and we know it ain't life making it happen, we need the resolve of knowing where we're headed in us to get through. And even if the Lord tarries and we're laying there in that bed, knowing our next breath, our last breath could be our next, no fear, because we know where we're headed. Characteristics of future citizens of the eternal city of God. The last one today we'll touch on is this. One that guards their relationship with Jesus. We're not going to get there without Jesus. See, nothing impure will ever enter. Speaking of the city of God, the eternal city of God, the New Jerusalem. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Think about your life for a minute. Think about the past. Don't think about it too long, all right? The blood of Jesus came and has forgiven all of the garbage that we've walked in. He says, I've taken that sin, I've cast it as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. It's not who you are. Did you do it? Yeah. But that's not who you were created to be. That isn't the glory. So don't let what the junk was that you did be what you're going to be and do and what you are now. It's forgiven. You could not, speaking of myself as well, we could not be in the Lamb's Book of Life without the blood of Jesus. What does that mean? Forgiveness has come to all of us. And it is a power that we do not have in ourselves. All God asks us to do is receive. Repent, meaning that ain't where I'm going anymore, God. I've been there, not going to go there anymore. By your strength, forgive me, God. By your grace, it's forgiven. And grace is a power. It's not an excuse to continue in our sin. There's freedom. There is freedom. 1 John 1:6 tells us this. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Let me read that one more time. If we claim to have fellowship with God, with Jesus, with his Spirit, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. So what's going on here? If this impurity, if this deceit is living in us, don't say that I'm walking with God. Don't say that my eternal home is going to be the new Jerusalem or the new earth. Don't lie. But I want to because I want to keep doing what I've been doing. And there we go back to the ticket that I got stored away in the lock, in the security vault somewhere or in the file somewhere. No. God doesn't want us to be a party to lies. God does not want his children to be overcome by deceit. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Jesus gives us new life, not a modified old. That's where trouble comes, is when I want to just be modified. I don't want to be sanctified. No, hold on. I want the old, because I know the old. I was born old, sinful. I want that still, but I want it modified enough so that I can enter and be a citizen of this eternal kingdom of God. Because I don't want to anger God. I want to reverence God. We'll reverence God in the steps of our life. Honor him with the activity of our mind, our heart, and our actions. Empowered by him, not by us. Empowered by the new. We again are given this gift of new life, not a modified old life. New with a knowledge of the damage the old do. I tell you right now, in my stubbornness, if I will examine the intentions of the old, I will hate the old. But if I ignore what the full intentions of the sinful nature is, then I will appease it and I will let it remain. But if I will really acknowledge the damage that the old will do, it is power that helps me not return. I'm just going to throw this out real quick, and you say, oh, when he says that, things get a little uncomfortable. God has like been burdening my heart for some time about a change of standard, of acceptance, of activity that's in our country. The government isn't the authority of truth. The government isn't the source that establishes what is right and wrong. They're not. So, because of men's greed and Satan's ploy, something that we looked at for many years as a detriment to society is now proclaimed as it's okay. Why? Because it's being legalized. And just because it's legal by man's standard doesn't mean it's acceptable by God's standard. And what breaks my heart is that marijuana is the new salt and pepper shaker on the table. It's just, I remember as a kid, every house that I went into had an ashtray. Mama had one, nobody smoked. And it was crystal. It was nice. I remember as a kid. But it was what? Acceptable. And someone whispered, man, you know what? This might be a problem. This may hurt your lungs, so you might not want to do it. And then what happened to ashtrays? Don't raise your hand. A lot of ashtrays just left because it wasn't acceptable as a healthy choice. There are a lot of people that smoke weed. There are a lot of people that medicate their minds with marijuana. And there's going to be a lot more when the state puts a stamp on it. It's legal now. But there's such a cost. There's such a cost because, as we talked about a few weeks ago, God wants us to have a clear mind. The devil wants our mind. And one of his age-old attempts to get us to surrender more of ourselves to him is pharmaceuticals. Pharmacuse, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. One that makes mind-altering or psychoactive potions or drugs, or one that uses it. Why? To change the perspective that it's okay. Throughout ministry, when I've worked with people that refuse to give up the weed, here's a comment that I've heard before. I'm closer to God when I'm high. And I said, well, let me spell that God for you real quick. I said, it's not a capital G. It's a lowercase G. And it ain't the spirit of God. It's the spirit of hell that you're closer to. Now, I'm talking about sincere people. I feel closer to God. The mind is freer. Another way of saying that, the mind is more susceptible to garbage perspective that's not of God. See, God loves you so much, he wants to give you a clear mind. He wants your mind so sharp that you're not paranoid, but sharp. So, and there are a lot of things that affect our mind, guys. It's not just the weed. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. You know, I think God's perspective is like this. If you choose to walk in sin, just be honest about what it is. Because I don't want my child fooled. In fact, if you want to continue in your sin, just be open and honest about it. God respects that. Because at least you're not being deceived. You know your consequences. You know what your choice is. How sad it is to be deceived. You're okay. And then not having the eternal city as your eternal dwelling. And you guys read the chapter. You know what the other reality is. Guard your relationship with God. Keep your mind clear. Keep your mind focused. Invite the Spirit of God to radically, daily alert your mind to his perspective. Only those that walk with God will enter the eternal city. Our relationship with the Lamb doesn't start when we walk into that city. Our relationship with Jesus, the author of the Lamb's Book of Life, starts now. We grow now. We don't wait to grow. We grow now. The Lamb's Book of Life acknowledges a true relationship with him. How beautiful is that image? That God knows who his are. That God is aware of the ones that walk with him. That God has established the Lamb's Book of Life, where it is written our name, because we have trusted in him and we live through the benefit of the blood of Jesus Christ. The signs of citizenship, again, are these. One, that guards purity. Purity is an attitude of the heart. Lord, please don't allow the things that contaminate to be that which I hold to and trust in. Signs of citizenship in the eternal city of God is one that guards glory, alive in the purpose of why God formed us and made us, that bring him glory. A characteristic, again, of those citizens is one who guards truth, which is the sanctifying power of God's word alive in our lives, and one that guards their relationship with Jesus, with the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that speaks his still small voice in us each and every day. Isn't it good when you hear in that spirit God's affirmation? You're okay. You're going to be okay. To hear his love for you pronounced to you. How beautiful is a relationship with Jesus that's not forsaken, but is moving forward in the growth of God's heart for us. If we can bow for a moment in prayer this morning. If you can, if you're able to stand this morning, I'd like us to, as we prepare to leave today, I want us to intercede for these characteristics to be alive in us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing us through your word, as the Bible closes out with Revelation, that last chapter. We thank you that you've given us a glimpse of the beauty that awaits those who hold on to you, that trust in you. So, Lord, we ask by your mercy and by your grace. And if this is in your heart today, call out to him. Guard me with your purity, Lord Jesus. Guard me with your purity, Lord. That beautiful presence of you in our lives that protects us from things and elements that harm and bring decay. Purity be in our hearts, Lord Jesus. And Father, we lift up each and every heart gathered here today, that the glory of the Lord that is designed for each of these hearts, that purpose that you died to give us, that nothing would hinder that in the powerful and the wonderful name of Jesus. And in faith today, let's speak life to that glory arising in hearts. In the name of Jesus, we say the glory of God, that glorious purpose, rise up in the name of Jesus. Those that stand against it, that which stands against it, we, in the name of Jesus Christ, rebuke and say freedom for your glory, your purpose. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Scales fall off of eyes in the name of Jesus. Hearts calloused by years and years of running and distance be melted in the name of Jesus right now. Callous fall off and that moldable heart come alive in Jesus' name. No matter what age, Lord Jesus. No matter what age. And now, Lord Jesus, you've placed your church upon this earth. You've placed us uniquely in families to be representatives of truth. And we say, Lord Jesus, may that spirit of truth arise in us with all the love and the power and the wisdom of God to be a light to others that give glory to Jesus Christ. Truth, arise right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. To the child of God that has been bombarded with the lie in some other heart, that lie has risen up bold and strong and arrogant, and it has come against you time and time again, but you rest assured the truth that you hold on is stronger than the bombardment of the one that trusts in lies. For you love that person with all of your heart, and it breaks your heart that the lie encompasses them. But you continue to hold on to the truth. Don't release joy. Press forward, and you will see how God is already using you to melt that heart and to take those scales and move them off the eyes in the name of Jesus. Father, we intercede for whoever that is, and it may be multiple, in the name of Jesus. Mighty, mighty God, move to set free, to set free. We don't give up. We don't give up, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that your relationship represented in hearts here today is a leading relationship. It's all about love and guiding us and moving us to your perspective, not trying to bring you to our perspective. And Lord, thank you that when you counsel us, you're kind, you're patient, and you speak with a voice that is solidly known in us. And we trust you. I ask in Jesus' name, encounters in the Word of God this week that will that will set hearts free, Jesus. That will take something concrete that has been held on to for a long time and let it just crack. Let it just fall apart in honor and reverence to your truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah.